Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Boom! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the number one host in all of podcasting, Mike Blitz!
Well, fuck, that's a good introduction.
So...
Man, He's trying to get me to like pro wrestling. This is CTP's way of getting me to buy into pro wrestling.
Is it working?
I don't think that was pro wrestling.
Sounds like a pro wrestler.
This is exciting.
Yeah,
just,
I mean that's like be
Bruce,
MMA.
That was like
too.
Bruce Buffer.
Yeah, Bruce Buffer. Yeah. UFC. UFC. Yeah.
Don't you feel ready now though?
I do feel ready. Thank you.
Wait,
thank
that's
you.
Michael Buffer.
But there's two Buffers. There's all kinds of
two Buffer brothers.
yeah, we were up in Columbus and for a UFC a few years ago, and somebody we knew was sitting within the vicinity of Bruce Buffer, and they overheard him ordering his food, and they said he sounded just like as he ordered his food, it sounded like he was just in the ring,
but just like quiet and reserved and a little bit sad and lonely. Like he lives for that moment.
Like he was announcing the pasta salad he was ordering.
But dude, we had that time.
Dude, that dude's Diesel. He's not eating pasta salad.
We had that time. We were in Columbus and we were having breakfast with some of the MMA dudes or lunch or something. And he was there too. Over there, he was wearing like a sport jacket.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh,
somebody was sitting closer to him. And
oh, they heard
him
order. I just saw this guy who was like, he was reading and had this like super nice, well-cut jacket, sports jacket, then a t-shirt and like sweatpants and like flip-flops. Like, what's
was he like, it's hungry. It's time.
All right, guys. We'll get on with the episode. Make sure you go over to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter. We're going to send you updates about the stuff we're doing, maybe places we're traveling, episodes when they come out. As you know, last week we had two episodes posted, and if you weren't subscribed to that, then you may have missed that. So we're going to talk about getting bigger and stronger. I know we've talked about this a lot, but hopefully we're going to hit this from a little more...
Let's not pretend it's always not just the coolest thing in the world.
A little more scientific perspective. I mean, everyone wants to get bigger and stronger all the time.
As CrossFit kind of gets more and more evolved, it becomes more and more important.
Yeah, I guess more strength-oriented for sure. The weights get heavier. And not only that, well, the Open is finishing up right now. So if you were going to choose a time of the year, I know that... As soon as the Open is over, most people's minds, they gravitate towards getting bigger and stronger. And then as it gets closer to Open, everyone wants to do more conditioning. Everyone knows that's kind of how...
it's the natural season.
It's the ebb and flow of the CrossFit season.
It's turning into like any other sport. That's kind of how it goes for if you're a college football player, a college baseball player, or a soccer player. Like that's pretty much how it works. You get done with your season. You go get as strong as you possibly can. You get as fast as you possibly can. And then when the season approaches, you lay conditioning over that newfound strength and speed.
It also splits the population too. Those who think you can just do the same thing always all time become the people who don't really improve. And the people who do the off-season type approach and the off-season type approach and push for certain metrics and have a year-long plan, they get really fucking good at what they're trying to get good at.
That was actually one of the biggest mistakes I made when I first started doing CrossFit is I kind of threw out a lot of the previous knowledge of like, This is what every sport does for success. I forgot about all of it.
That's a really good point, dude.
And I just did CrossFit for a while. And then after a few years, I don't want to say a couple years, I was like, it's about a year and a half. I mean, I think that's the magic number for a lot of people. After about a year and a half, I go, we should probably start applying some of these. These principles have been tried and true for 50 years.
The science is not perfect. We all know the limitations of sports science research and all that. We go on about that. But... the flip side, which we haven't maybe talked about before, is that all that shit is people worked long and hard and trained for a long time. Guys like Stone and Gar Hammer and all these athletes for this whole 100, 150 years behind us. The ideas that came out of that is really still quite relevant. They can't just toss it all out because this revolution happened. It's more of like a mix what does work from that in with the new and kind of have a new differently balanced thing, but still has a lot of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the things CrossFit has done is taken a lot of those strength and conditioning ideas and kind of like added a new twist to them. And people are trying out a lot of things, combining things that were never combined before. So that's really good. Now, there's another reason people might be interested in getting stronger. And that is because of the NPFL. If you haven't heard of the NPFL, go to NPFL.com. It's the National Pro Fitness League. And I'll just do a quick summary of it, probably very poorly. there's going to be teams, the National Pro Fitness League. How do I approach this? Tony Budding left CrossFit HQ back in like November, he started this thing called the NPFL. He wanted there to be a fitness league where people could compete in 2-hour matches. Like you would other sports.
Very different kind of
Kind of like
idea.
Football, you know.
Team sport.
Yeah, once a week. Yeah, team sport. That's important.
Shorter duration.
Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, I think they're saying there's 7 people on the team right now, but that might get bigger or something like that.
They're going to have cheerleaders.
It's going to be definitely going to be cheerleaders.
Thing has to have very attractive. You can have male cheerleaders there too. I'm not going to say you can't have, but you got to have some attractive entertainment around the court. That's going to make it perfect, man.
CTP's like, I'll film it. So it's going to be held on something the size of a basketball court. There are teams in different cities. Right now, I know that there are 4 or 5 teams 100% bought in. They've already started signing athletes. These are professional mm-hmm. athletes. They're going to get paid per match, $2,500 per match. And then on top of...
Those people you've heard of, too.
On top of the salaries that might be offered and bonuses and stuff like that mm-hmm. from the team owners and management and stuff like that. So this is going to turn into like kind of a traditional team sport that you would see in the United States.
It's going to be the first time these CrossFit athletes have been able to make a consistent income, not from sponsors, but from actually competing. Like
right.
If you go to the games, so you win, you get a big check once a year, yeah. and it's only a handful of people that get that. But in this case, they're going to be doing a competition once per week. I'm not sure what their salaries are or what they're getting per game, but they're getting a once a week, multiple times per month payout, and that's going to be able to give them consistent revenue where they can actually train year-round and get paid year-round.
From what I understand, they're going to get paid by the NPFL per match, and then they might get additional salaries on top of that. These athletes that were normally paying to train and compete are now going to get paid to train and compete. And it used to be just the top tier of athletes. I mean, you had to be top 3 in the whole world to make any real money at this. And now there's going to be several people per city.
Those are very tough odds.
Very tough odds.
Make sure you study.
This is the first time I've seen. I've been talking to some athletes, and they're very hopeful. This is like, you know, a new light in a tunnel type of thing. You know, they've been doing CrossFit because they love it. They've been competing in CrossFit because they love it. But now they're going to be able to get paid, you know, in a much more stable way. And the other thing I really love about this, and this is the first thing that occurred to me when I found out about the NPFL and started researching it, I've talked to Tony a couple times, is they're going to actually, this is going to be a much more spectator-friendly sport. People are going to have a much more enjoyable time watching it. And people who don't really understand CrossFit are going to understand who's winning and who's losing. Again, you can go to NPFL.com and look up more of that.
I think it sets the stage for a rapid expansion of people who would be interested, and therefore the amount of, I mean, anytime more eyes are going to watch it and it's more punched up, condensed version of CrossFit, there's a huge potential for growth.
2 hours.
So I'm seeing, a couple things I'm seeing is, one, the format is a lot different. Like I don't know, we've talked about it, Mike, the way the competition is going to go, and sort of the inherent nature, it's closed course, it's short, it's punchy, these things like substitutions, the different kinds of competitions. Like you're interesting, introducing all these curveballs. It's a whole different structure of competition, curveballs for how you compete. There's pay incentives. How does this now trickle down and affect everybody's training is what I'm really going to pay close attention to.
Now
it's
going
to change how people approach things again.
Yeah, it's going to change the game because teams will have specialists and they'll have generalists, and there's going to be this magic ratio that people are going to be looking for.
There's much more of a tight union between like the way high level football preparation typically goes and what has been evolving rapidly across it. There could be this new sort of cross strain.
Yeah.
Form. I'm very curious to see how it
goes. When I first heard about it, I'll be honest, I was like, what? And then the more I've learned
about it. Make that
face too? I made that face. The more I've learned about it, I'm actually much more excited about it now.
You're tiddly.
Yeah. So what I wanted to mention is this is the first year. It's going to be a short season. So there's going to be, you know, 5 to 8 teams, and they're just not going to, it's going to be a shorter season, and it's kind of like a test. And then next year they plan to have a big expansion. Well, if you want to get on one of these teams, they're signing some people already. However, a lot of owners and managers and coaches are waiting for the combines. Now there's, I got the list of combines right here.
Which is more or less tryouts.
I didn't even plan this. All right. So in LA, it's April 4th through 7th, Dallas 11th through 13th, Atlanta 25th through 27th, and Boston May 2nd through 5th. So at these combines, it is super one rep max friendly for
weightlifting.
I have the list right here. If you go to profitnessleague.com/combines, you can see it.
It's a long fucking weekend, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's a day.
It's a day?
You have 8 hours to get through. 1RM front squat, 1RM press, 1RM overhead squat, 1RM jerk, 1RM deadlift. All right, this is all 1RMs. I'll just leave. Clean and jerk, snatch, 1RM. Clean. 1RM. Because not only do you have to find your clean jerk, but then you find your jerk separately, your clean separately, and then you have max reps. Max reps, chest to bar pull-ups in 90 seconds, handstand push-ups in 90 seconds, muscle-ups in 90 seconds, box jumps in 60 seconds, pistols 45 seconds per leg, double unders 90 seconds, rope climbs 90 seconds, handstand walk for distance 60 seconds, farmer carry, didn't designate the weight, max distance 60 seconds, and shuttle run max distance in 60 seconds. And then... this all has to be completed in an 8 hour period, and they've got stations set up and it's got some stuff on here. And then you have two different AMRAPs or two different Metcons. One is 5 rounds of 12 power cleans and 6 push press with a 12 minute cap. I won't mention the weights. AMRAP is of 7 minutes of 20 thrusters and 20 bar facing burpees plus 1K row. So
it's a long day, dude. You better refuel 500 times.
It is a long day, but as you can see, super weightlifting oriented, very strength oriented. And the way they're talking about orienting the sport is there's a lot of changes going on. So the ability to lift really heavy weight and be able to do things interval style, not continuously all the way through, mm-hmm. is going to be really beneficial. So
they're going to make it where you can have your power lifter specialist go in and do the heavy weight, and then you can switch it out and have your gymnastics guy go in and do all the chest to bar pull-ups unbroken. That's you can right. switch back and forth. Or how's each individual event within the total event structure?
They're talking about, I think there's going to be 11 total events in 2 hours. And
11 events in 2 hours?
11 events in 2 hours.
Shit. And they got to be short events.
And it's laid out like a field. So like you start here and you progressively move down the field. So like if you get up, this is exactly how Tony describes it in the video I saw on YouTube. You get up, you go get a beer, you come back, and there's no doubt who's in the lead because they're further down the field. Mm-hmm. Even to someone who's not as CrossFit savvy, mm-hmm. you know,
it's like a scoreboard.
They're going to be able to, how many like people go watch NBA mm-hmm. that never really played basketball before?
Almost everybody.
This kind of, the only people watching CrossFit games are CrossFitters. This might actually give opportunity to people who may not be CrossFitters, you know, really enjoy the sport and support their home team.
People are going to see,
they're by city.
Mm-hmm. You're going to look in the field, you're going to see visual reminders of who's winning. You're going to see a lot of really attractive fit people doing the thing.
I love attractive fit people.
Intense screaming and intense energy coming from the lifting of the things. It's I don't know how it doesn't go over like gangbusters. It sounds like it's basically perfect.
I think it depends what those uniforms are.
What are the uniforms going to be?
I think
if they're like basketball shorts, I'm like, I got to talk to you guys about this situation. You need Stacy Tovar shorts, just in all the city's colors.
For the guys.
What would the girls wear? I don't know. I mean, I can venture a guess. Like banana hammocks? Is that a thing with girls? They like that?
Like they don't have bananas. You got to have a banana to
Philadelphia
have a
Founders banana hammocks, you know, with Ben Franklin's logo on the tip or something.
Oh yeah, what are all the teams? The Philly Founders.
I own the LA team.
LA Rain.
Phoenix.
Rain Supreme.
What's the Phoenix team?
Phoenix Burners.
What is it?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
What's the Phoenix team? Where else?
Somebody is the Fire Breathers. Maybe that's Phoenix, right?
Phoenix Fire Breathers?
That sounds right.
Oh, no, that's OPT's team, right?
Yeah.
I think that sounds right. If we got it wrong, sorry.
Hang on. Don't. Someone else talk real quick. I'm trying to find it.
The MPFL podcast is brought to you by...
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to talk about. It's brand new. It's something that's probably on a lot of people's minds. And if you haven't heard about it, that's highly likely because the only people that I've talked to about it and seem pretty savvy about it are like the elite level coaches, the elite level athletes, and some people that are interested in owning a team. Outside of that, they haven't done very much promotion in the community. I think they're leaving a lot of that up to the team owners to like really promote within their cities. Again, I'm just talking out my ass.
Let's see. Philadelphia.
It's my speculation.
See, Philadelphia has a team. Amit Shah, the guy that owns Wattify, great guy, good friend of ours, owns that team now. Phoenix is owned by basically James Fitzgerald and John Callahan of OPT. See, LA... LA, New York, and San Francisco, the other ones. So we only got five teams at the moment?
Yeah. And then word on the street is...
where'd you get this? Oh, you're titillating me now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard there might be one. I don't know if I'm supposed to even talk about this.
Is it going
to
be in Memphis? And do you own the team? Oh, shit. The Memphis...
No, there's not going to be a Memphis team, okay. I don't think. I've heard nothing about that. There are some other teams that are looking at other large cities that might start up. But I think they're trying to geographically diversify, especially in the beginning.
But regardless, this is going to have profound change.
Yeah, so if you thought that the CrossFit games were very strength-oriented...
It's going to get worse.
The NPFL is going to be even more strength-oriented. Because when you look at this, half of it is one rep max strength, and then the other is max rep strength for gymnastics, which is, again...
For short intervals.
Well, yeah, for 90 seconds of time. It's a strength.
If you got to do all that shit in 2 hours, you're going to have to be short and punchy and strength dominant if it's going to be competitive.
And I'm not complaining. I love it even more. Yeah. And that's... I love it even more because...
Look, in the end, we win. The people who hate running win again. Fuck everything. Strong. Being strong is still the coolest thing. Still gets all the chicks, believe it or not. Makes you awesome at CrossFit, even though there's a lot of running.
But the, you know... One of my biggest complaints about the CrossFit Games is I have to invest 3 days to follow it.
It's sort of
with
like
this,
when
I'm
going
to have to invest 2 hours a weekend.
It's sort of like when you see strongmen on, it's on a week during ESPN, and you see little blocks of it, and it's spread out.
Yeah.
You get interested in it, but you don't get the
experience.
Don't
follow it. I don't follow it.
You don't get the ritualistic, like we sit down as a family, and every Sunday at 2 p.m., we watch our fitness league comp. That's just what we do in this family. We cheer for the... the LA Reign. That's if you cheer for those sons of bitches, the founders, get out of my house. It's going to turn into that kind of thing on some level.
I would like to see this on ESPN. And I think we are going. I don't want to make any promises, but we are going to cover at least one of the combines, and we're going to be knocking that one out. We're looking at covering Atlanta right now. That's the only, and it's not because we want to cover all of them, but our schedule got real tight on us real fast. And we're only able to make the one in Atlanta.
We'll go report and see what's going on.
So we'll be hanging out. You can say hi to us. We'll be getting an interview with Tony Budding so he can basically tell me I was wrong about all the things I just said about the NPFL.
Sorry, Tony. If we did butcher anything or if you don't think banana hammocks are a good idea, I apologize to you on the air, man. But I think that's where it's at.
Oh, shit.
So they got some sample team events on here. They got a couple different structures. They got one man, one woman, two men, or two women. Women. Two
so
women.
Is it porn description?
Two women. Like a caveman. Two women. Two men plus two women. 3-3 or 4-4, basically. So they got a couple different structures. They're going to be up to 8 people per team if they're doing 4 men plus 4 women in one event.
Yeah. I think one of the cool things about this, too, is it's required that you have one female and one male master's division. So 40 plus.
That's right.
So, you know, one of the draws of that is that...
On your team?
On your team.
Okay, somebody on your team has to be old.
They're not old, Chris.
They have to be a master.
They're relatively speaking, they're just old.
They're older.
The leaders on the team.
Yeah.
Relative to the people that are younger than them.
Yeah, I think that
by the way, this is me I'm describing.
What I kind of like about that is...
I'm beat up as anybody.
People in the stands might better, you know, be able to... What's it called? Identify with the people competing.
If there's somebody like
words them. Hard to come out my mouth. Yeah. All right. So we want to talk about getting strong. And one of the things we want to talk, you know, part of that is you, if you want to do well in CrossFit, you want to be strong and MPFL. Now you got to be even stronger.
It's only becoming more of a pressing need.
You might want to just listen up when we talk about how does he get strong. And we've talked about training programs in the past and we've talked about why they work and stuff like that. But we want to dig in a little bit on like why these strength programs actually work and what type of stimulus makes you stronger. And I'll try to stay away from using words like stimulus.
So wait, real quick, for the combines, do you have to get invited to the combine? Or is that like a walk-in type thing? You could just show up and just compete and see
there's a place to...
On your own?
There's a place to sign up. I think they're using Eventbrite as the registration software. I think it's $50 to compete. So...
I wouldn't worry about people clamoring to rush in there and do it just for fun because that looks brutal as hell.
I think people are going to have fun doing it, but we'll see. I mean, you know, if you know, 10 years ago I would have signed up, but now I'm scared of looking so foolish. I'm just kidding. Take a break, come back. Let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to get strong.
Yep.
Boom.
And we're back. We were going to talk about training, how to get bigger and stronger, and go into the science of all that. But we got on this NPFL rant, and
it seemed pretty interesting.
We're looking at the website, and we decided this is a lot more fun to talk about. I think we'll cover like how we might prepare for the combine, which will be very applicable information. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're on a roll on this. I say we stick with it.
The combine's a spectator thing, or is that like a private inside thing only?
Can you get drunk in the stands and watch?
I plan on getting drunk.
Sounds like a great time.
It says approximately 200 men and 200 women will be invited to each combine. So that's a pretty big event. I'd imagine they'd have people like hanging out, watching, having a good time, watching their friends, family members.
I would assume so.
If not, I think it'd be a recommend
fun
day. They do.
It'd be really
and
fun.
It's 3-day weekend, so I guess they're segmenting, you know, athletes for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it looks like you only have one day that you're actually doing it. So you're not doing 3 days worth of stuff, is what it looks like. Mm. So yeah, it says. So you have all those different stations for one rep maxes on the weightlifting type stuff. And then you have all that max rep stuff for the gymnastics related stuff.
How many times are you going to say stuff?
Note. Sorry. Thanks for pointing that out. So I'll avoid saying stuff. But, you know, as you notice, if you got a bar in your hand, you're probably doing a one rep max. And if you're moving your body around, you got multiple reps. So, what were we talking about? NPFL?
Real question is, who's going to commentate this bad boy? Because I know three dudes who might do a pretty good job.
I'm not sure I want that gig. We'll see. Well, I'll never say never.
Never say never. Yeah. I think I would be terribly impressive in that role. Think of all. Well, it depends. It depends.
I thought you were going to say bad, and then you were
No.
I would be.
I think
amazing.
I could be the John Madden type, who just basically says nonsensical things and injects. Undo
repeat,
commentary.
Repeat yourself.
It depends.
Constantly.
It depends on where they show. Like, is this going to be on TV? You think that's one thing. My question would be: is where will these events be streamed?
I'd say
online?
worst case scenario this year streamed online.
Right. So we have some. We could cuss and tell.
I think they need Jim Ross from WWF. Oh my God! That man just kicked that bull up in half.
Oh God!
It says under the sponsor category that about exclusive coverage on TV, something, something, something. So they're going to put it on TV somewhere.
I could clean up the language, Tony. I could abstain from the banana hammock commentary or, you know, masturbation jokes just for this 2-hour block of time. I think I could keep it together.
Oh jeez.
I'll add the colorful commentary part. I just need somebody who can actually comment intelligently about what they're doing specifically.
Yeah, the league matches will start in late August 2014 and be aired live. Yeah, it just doesn't say where it's going to be aired. That's cool, man. If it was on regular TV, I'd be.
So if you were cool. If you were going to prepare for this, Michael, so this young, healthy Michael Bledsoe, who's not wrecked from head to toe with crippling joint degeneration and all this
stuff.
Don't
tell people I'm crippled. Come on. That's a secret.
You're pretty fit. Well, no, let's say you're just going on this journey. You've got all this green pasture ahead of you. You want to give this a go. You have the background in CrossFit already. You know, you have some basic strength and endurance and all that stuff. I mean, you've been through the pipe a couple times. How do you change your training? Where do you start to put together a plan for addressing this kind of challenge? This real heavy strength influence.
Well, if it was a decade ago me and I was 22 years old, I would totally botch the program.
botch the program.
I would botch it. No, it'd be
knowing
terrible.
Knowing
be,
what you do terrible. Now.
Oh,
with the body you had.
Knowing
yes.
what I know now with my old body. Yeah. So, So if being a CrossFitter, I think a lot of people are used to doing the long workouts, light weights, and stuff like that. And I think you got to ditch that type of program. I think it'd be time to do, as you can see here, I'd say at least half of your volume needs to be strength volume. Mm-hmm. You need to spend half the time in your gym working on the Olympic lifts, getting a good, you know, heavy front squat, deadlift. These are all things that are going to come along with a solid weightlifting program. And then when you're looking at these gymnastics movements, max reps in 90 seconds, and we're talking about the combine. We're not talking about training for the NPFL. We're talking about training for the combine specifically. Now you're training muscular endurance too. And there is a segment for two Metcons, so which are going to be a little more, you know, not as muscular endurance oriented, mm-hmm. and going to be a little more, you know, total system training, whatever you want to call it. But for the muscular endurance stuff, like, this is probably where you want to put most of your eggs for your training, is in that muscular endurance and that max strength, because that's going to carry over really well to those two Metcons that you're going to end up having to do at the combine as well. So I would say majority of training is is weightlifting and then working on muscular endurance and a gymnastics capacity.
So you do all your weightlifting work. You work position. The cows come home. You push up your squat strength. You do all that. You make sure no weaknesses are there. But then your WOD, is it basically kind of like weightlifting weightlifting specific assistance work times, you know, just sort of your traditional thing of weightlifting, do just faster pace, like what we do.
You do a very much more traditional, probably more traditional weightlifting type programming for this than you would most CrossFit programs. The muscular endurance the gymnastics stuff, I think this is a good time to practice the gymnastics stuff and in intervals and kind of do sets and reps for this instead of like putting them in Metcons. This is where you're doing like handstand pushups.
Like assistance work.
Yeah. You treat them like assistance work, but you might say 10 handstand pushups, rest 60 seconds, 10 handstand pushups, something like that versus like throwing handstand pushups in your WOD. I think you do more of that. And then you also use a lot of progressions and advanced progressions. So to train handstand pushups, you don't always just do handstand pushups. You're doing deficit handstand pushups. You're also doing any kind of pressing. So this is where you're going to get a lot of benefit from doing some dips, ring dips, stuff like this. Things that may not be directly tested here, but the assistance work to kind of go along with that gymnastics work.
Yeah, speaking of handstand pushups, one of the example workouts they have on here is two men plus two women, and the combined total says three stations, everyone can work at the same time, but it's 70 handstand pushups, 50 deficit handstand pushups, and then 30 ring deficit handstand pushups.
Right.
Oh. As a team, it's nothing but handstand pushups, and you finish with ring deficit handstand pushups. Yeah. So your overhead strength on your gymnastics skills is going to have to be pretty solid to do something like that.
I think you're going
to
see a lot of freak shows show up, which is going to be really cool to watch. These people are going to be really strong and have a lot of muscular endurance.
So as opposed to CrossFit, where you get penalized for being the guy who can crush the shit out of some handstand pushups, but it's not good at some other things. Like it's penalized in one, but here it's a really strong focus.
I wonder how the
you could be the guy who comes off the bench
be.
To crush overhead work and make a good living doing it.
Yeah, I don't know about the judging.
That would be a bit, because you'd have to do stuff like the open, where it's like very easy stuff to judge.
But this is an opportunity to have more professional referees and judges and stuff like that.
It's a whole new economy.
Yeah, again, one of the other example workouts on here is just one man, one woman, and it's 12-9-6-3 snatches and box jumps, and it gets heavier and higher box jumps as you move through the reps, and it goes 155-85-15, and then 245 for your last set of three, and then your box jumps go from 30-30 up to 36-36. So you're gonna have to be snatching up to 245 for three reps towards the end of a workout like that. Like, you're going to have to be a strong dude to do this, which is kind of the whole point of our conversation here. But
very skill and strength oriented here.
Yeah, like, we can see from the combine, they're testing all one rep maxes, but there's no, like, one rep max you have to hit. Like, they lay it out on the example page. But looking at these workouts, like, the competition is going to be guys that can do just that. Snatch 245 for a set of three after doing, multiple reps with slightly lighter weights for slightly higher reps, but...
That's no joke, dude.
I'm going to like watching these events because there's going to be a bunch of strong dudes and strong ladies.
That's why I think
it's
going to be successful. We will inherently go, like, this is pretty fucking cool.
I love the CrossFit Games, but I think this is going to be more fun to watch.
Don't make any enemies, my friend.
I go along with that.
Especially if the cheerleaders are dressed the way I'm suggesting.
Has HQ said anything about the MPFL yet?
Not that I've heard. I mean, they may have, and I've been having my head down a little bit lately, so I don't know.
It's got to annoy them when people refer to the MPFL as CrossFit, because it's not CrossFit. It's something totally different. It's a different fitness league, and it's not CrossFit. Even though it probably looks just like CrossFit to people that don't know what CrossFit is.
If you look at the description, if you look at how CrossFit describes fitness, this isn't exactly in line with that. This is the way Tony describes it is this is a sport. Mm-hmm. A performance sport. A performance race. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much a. I don't think I've heard him call it fitness. It's more like a performance type thing.
This is also going to be more consistent across competitions, do you think? I mean, like, there is a... CrossFit's always been a little bit like strongman where, there's some trends emerge that repeat competition to competition. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you don't know what you're going to face. And it always sort of limits it in some way because it can never be a formal sport. It doesn't repeat in a pattern. Football is always football.
How far ahead of time do you know the workouts?
1 week. Yeah.
1 week?
1 week, ahead of time. And I'd be willing to bet, it's very common stuff, 80 to 90%. And then maybe, you know, the 10% is where they throw something like the pig in.
And this, this
like
could
that,
be
you know?
A thing. I mean, I'm just talking on my ass.
The pig.
This could be a thing where if you do, if it does become a formal thing, like now the fitness now becomes a specific sport with repeating events that are sort of a standard. You got to be good at this stuff, like a decathlon type thing. This is these are the this is what we specifically test you in and compete in to be fit. It's a much narrower view. Then that thing can be a thing that goes.
Well, this is going to change every week. But I
yeah, but if, it's, if it repeats in some pattern, then it's a version of this that could be an Olympic
well, I think
sport
you,
or something.
I think you see the pattern in the combine. You know,
I think this is the path where this fitness thing, this revolution, becomes something that could be an Olympics.
The only reason I don't think it can become an Olympic sport is
not that I want it to. I'm just saying it.
Is
it becomes a sport.
The event changes from week to week, so that's you know that the Olympics is always yeah. Every sport the rules never change. Maybe every 50 years, you know, the change.
But regardless, I think these two things, I mean, people might see it where they cross over, maybe where they're duplicated. I think it's a nice mutually beneficial thing. One growing only supports the other, I think.
So what do you think about training for this, Chris?
How would I do it?
Yeah.
First things first, lots of anabolics. Lots of anabolics. Beat the test, do whatever to make that money. No, I'm joking. It looks like something that's going to turn a lot more into traditional sports performance training.
You know, now you need to bring this up. I wonder if they're going to drug test for this.
You sure as shit better. You're offering money. It's going to be a problem. Not, I'm not saying people are going to start using do it, but I mean, come on. Let's. If you're offering a sure
there's
thing.
There's sports that don't and there's sports that do.
If you're offering a nice paycheck for physical capacity and it's going to offer all kinds of exposure, it's going to be a concern.
Yeah.
They got some type of simulation about what the event arena might look like.
Look at that.
Similar to like a rogue rig looking type thing, which like got the monkey bars and some areas
like,
to do rope climbs.
I feel like I'm looking at a future
and,
sport, like something lasers are going to be start shooting.
Looks like the NBA arena meets like Mad Max or something, or WWF meets basketball.
It's missing a cage.
Like, are they
going
to come out with a MPFL video game? Like where it's like you're like pressing A a whole bunch to do like some
keep
pull-ups.
On pressing more muscle ups.
Yeah, that's why I was headed to like those video games that were like you're running track. You're like. A B.
To that point, always hated all those games. Like there on the Nintendo, it used to be an Olympics game. Like the weightlifting was just you had to crush the shit out of your B button. Like just you had to like rub it on your pants leg. Like, oh, you lifted it. Of course, the snatch is like this: lift. Oh, you've almost got it over your head. Keep pushing that button. Successful lift. And you put it down. But literally, that's all it took.
Best video game I ever played was Excitebike.
Just love Excite Bike.
You make your own course? That was a good time.
Oh, yeah, dude. That was so much fun. And now you can get just those remotes at the mall.
And CTP.
And it's got 200 games in just the remote.
Super Nintendo WrestleMania with Bam Bam Bigelow is pretty dope, too, man. Come off the top rope in that game. Whereas now there's all these combinations. You got to be like a little engineering mind to play video games now. But back in the day, you just had those two buttons. You want to punch a guy in the face, you just hit that one button.
Yeah, I made the mistake of checking out. So I went from like Super Nintendo to not playing video games for like a decade, and then I'm like, yeah, I'll sit down and play like some Xbox. John hands me a controller. I go, what is going on? Like, it's like, how do I hold it? He's like, you got it upside down. I'm like, yeah.
The specific thing, I would like to see some sort of formal science around the kind of, you know, the plasticity of the brain in a young kid and what changes in your brain when you do all that complicated, extremely difficult shit in these modern games. Like the combinations of buttons on a controller to do what you want to do in these complex 3D environments has to fundamentally change.
I know we're getting way off topic, but I think the coolest thing they've done with video games is they've like solved problems for, was it solved, like curing some like, what's it called? Diseases. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, you're like curing diseases with video games. Like they're like, oh, we got to find a solution to this problem. Scientists have spent years working on this algorithm, and they make it a video game, and people go on there and solve it within a few hours. Like it's like crowdsourced.
Was the disease boredom?
Well, science is like anything. You get into a rut, and you keep looking for answers in the same ways that you think the answers, in the same sort of pattern and flow they need to come in, and that's not always true. So adding a little randomness to it. That's what happened in CrossFit. There was that we talked about the balance between there's these proven pathways to strength, and they're proven because they work, but it's not as if there's something else that isn't out there waiting, that can't be combined and re-scrambled to make this thing better. And that was the variable that came across. Is like everything was really good, but a little stale and a little bit too much in the rut. And this new thing comes along and makes you question things like, can you do endurance training and still be strong as shit? Because you just like this These are two parallel roads. If you want to cross over, you got to get off and get on the other one, but you can't just intermingle. And that's right. Actually, I don't think, true at all. I've seen too many people get really fit, and I go, right, they can't lift what they're going to lift, and now they're lifting weights. They're almost national level fucking weightlifting competition style. There's going to be a crossover where a guy beats you in weightlifting and then beats some other guy who's really good at running at their own game too, but he's doing it all at the same time. Yeah. I didn't think that was possible, and I'm seeing differently now.
Yeah, this big kind of crowdsourced global experiment with everyone's results showing up online for everyone in the world to see has really made CrossFit MMA, as another example, evolve super, super fast.
It adds a variable that no one was really planning on. I like anybody, I thought the open and all that shit was silly. Like, how are you going to have a competition that's just open source and all these people are just getting involved with all their fucking ideas and all their influence? Of course, that's just the... the socially imprinted, you know, old school from where we came from type of attitude. We got it figured out, man. You want to get strong, there's a proven way to get strong. And then you see how successful it is. Like,
yeah, all the libertarian CrossFitters saw it.
You don't kick out. It's not a
fine.
Revolution. It's not a revolution against what was there. It's not like kicking it out. It's a vital and necessary recombination of ideas. So take what you know works, twist things all around in a new sort of, you know, just put it all in a blender and see what comes out. And it turns out, bad analogy.
Keep going.
What turns out is that you get something that is much better than what you had before. I don't think any of us now would dream about even programming for ourselves without some influence of this CrossFit thing. We wouldn't go back to doing it just like we did. Wouldn't prescribe anything the same way now. But what I think the really rich ground is combining all the periodization, all the science, everything you knew with the new twist that CrossFit has afforded. Because that is the brand new, never before thing component. So it's the same thing to sports performance preparation with this MPFL stuff.
So, Mike, you've been the one that's been in contact with Tony here lately. I'd imagine with any event that anyone's putting on in the CrossFit space or any space, and as we know, we've put on some live events before, really what you need is sponsors, judges, and volunteers. Have you talked to Tony about that at all? Is he looking for people right now?
I'm not sure.
You don't know?
I haven't talked to him about the volunteers perspective. I think the teams, I don't think they're having any trouble finding people in the beginning.
They got enough people coming out of the woodwork to hire people to help out with this. I mean, it's picking up a lot of steam. I'd imagine he has a good team under his belt at this point, or a lot of people that are kind of helping him push this forward. But
you might be listening to it, like, oh, fuck, I need a team. Hey, guys, give me my phone.
I didn't think about that.
Volunteers.
Yeah.
Oh, to that point, people who are, if you are a CrossFitter and you're in the town, if you're in Philly, if you're in, Phoenix, San Francisco, LA, New York, whatever the city is. If you're there and around, I'd say if you want to see it succeed, think of ways you can get involved. Show up and support. Tell your friends about it.
Actually, my biggest concern is the sponsorship side of things. Because it seems like an expensive undertaking, and I'm just wondering who's going to sponsor it. And you know,
Budweiser.
I hadn't heard of any sponsors at this point.
So that's my biggest one. I think volunteers, I mean, if... You know, a gym can put on a competition and get, you know, we've gotten like 50, 60 volunteers to commit for an entire weekend, you know, from sun up to sundown type of thing. I think they're going to be able to find people to volunteer for an afternoon and stuff like that for a 2-hour competition. Obviously, there's going to be, it's probably a whole weekend's worth of work to put on a 2-hour competition, but it's going to be a little bit different. And I'm assuming they have funding here on the front end to hire people and stuff like that.
Do you think that gets better, though, because... Inherently, what you're doing with this is exposing it to a wider audience. Is that not the case? It's shorter, it's punchier, it's a little more standardized, so more people could potentially identify. And if more people identify and see fitness as being cool, there's other larger entities, maybe good corporate partners who go, right, we just sell general health.
Well, I think
maybe
so.
We get involved with this.
Yeah,
there's probably more opportunity for
good sponsorship. That's just my biggest fear in regard to that, but I'm pretty confident those guys that are running NPFL are heading that off and I don't think they would have jumped in without already thinking of that for sure. But what I'm interested to see is there's two things is this is right between the open and regionals. So a lot of people who are competing in regionals will be doing the combines. So that's interesting. And
it's a little bit of a distraction potentially.
You know, I thought it was going to be, and I started looking at what it is. You want to be good at all this stuff if you're going to regionals anyway. And I don't think this is going to beat a regional level athlete. This isn't going to beat him up too much.
Do you think this starts causing a poaching problem? Like, does CrossFit become a minor league for Pete?
No, I think it's two totally different sports. I honestly think that in 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to look at CrossFit like it's weightlifting and NPFL like it's powerlifting. You know, to somebody who to the untrained eye, it may look the same, right? Like, how many people do you run? If you go to Gold's Gym and you say, hey, I weightlift, they don't know what the hell you're talking about. If you say you powerlift, they don't know what you're talking about. But if you're in the sport and you're really paying attention, the differences are extremely, you know,
well,
obvious.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'm interested in seeing is, and you bring up minor league, is I wonder if this is going to get run like baseball, where the teams are going to end up having, like, you know, the minor league teams to pull athletes from and stuff like that.
Or a developmental, that's like what they call the...
There'd have to be a lot of money in it at that point, but is that a possibility? And is that a different league? Or is that run by the... Is it run like baseball, where it's like kind of under the same organization? Or is it some other sports where it's all very fragmented?
It'd be very interesting if you had situations where team owners then had... They opened up, you know, Philadelphia Founders Box, where it was a developmental, like a training center for the team. And it's also served as a, like... a feeder system, so you can come in, you can train in a fundamentals type way, but you're a good CrossFitter. Basically, you see if you can enter, whoever can successfully join the team and keep pace becomes a potential prospect, and maybe they start competing at local events as a minor league representative.
That's a great idea.
It could be a great feeder.
We should talk to some of these owners and give them this idea.
That sounds cool, because look, I mean, you can't, I think anybody, any young, enterprising young professional fitness league owner is going to look to... You're going to have to look to the history of baseball and football in this country to see how, you know, what worked, what didn't, and what you can improve upon. In the same way we take existing strength and conditioning methods and innovate them with the little viral spark that is CrossFit, I think you have that opportunity to look at the way farm systems and everything have evolved, and these big-time sports have been around for fucking 100 years, and now throw the same kind of spark and see how you can reinvent it to be a more nimble...
I would say don't look at baseball, look at basketball. Those guys are doing it right.
The NBA minor league system and all that.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that, but like as far as organizations that know how to make money, NBA.
The most successful sports league right now, I hear, is the NHL. Actually,
you're crushing everybody. You're forgetting NASCAR.
Well, exclude all the... I'm not gonna make any NASCAR jokes. Probably a lot of people like it. I don't particularly like it. It's also a lot different than arena sport. I mean, I think of all the arena sports, and like including maybe NFL for stadium stuff, I think the NHL is the one that's doing the best.
Yeah.
I think everybody else is sort of losing viewers. So you might want to look there, actually.
Maybe. The other thing I'm interested in...
Fights! Holy fuck, man. In the middle of this competition, you just pause. You have the two strongest guys and the two strongest girls just wrestle over bone in the middle of the fucking arena. With the short shorts and everything. That's where you... CTP, would you watch that or would you watch that? Just like two Stacey Tovars in the middle fighting over a rope.
Oh, geez.
That's intermission.
All right. The other thing.
That's your hockey. That's why hockey's good. But everybody's waiting to see the fight.
They could do like the Russian team fights, where it's like 4-on-4 fights.
Oh, yeah.
You seen that before?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Where there's like different elevated platforms.
When you watch that, you get scared.
It's like, MMA meets parkour, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
MMA
meets
parkour.
That's right. They'll run up a ramp and start fighting and be wrestling and fall over like an 8-foot drop.
It's
then still be fighting.
MMA.
And the guys in the audience eating popcorn and cheering, yay, go the go Moscow Thunder.
The other thing, so all these CrossFit gyms, there's a lot of CrossFit leagues. You have, you know, things like we went to Wadapalooza, you have the Garage Games, you have OC Throwdown, you have all these competitions, and what do they model after? They model after the CrossFit Games. They're trying to be like the CrossFit Games because that's what people accept.
Don't know any different right now.
So the NPFL is like, this is like the first time someone stepped out of the box, and they didn't just step out of the box, they stepped out of the box big, and you know, and maybe somebody was doing something like this before, but on a small scale, but this is the first time it like came up on our radar and go, oh, these guys are treating this thing way differently. It's so outside of the box at the CrossFit Games. And I think everyone kind of got stuck in that mentality that this is how CrossFit competitions are run. It's a weekend event or all day. It's three events spread out by hours and so on and so forth. And this is a punchy 2-hour thing, 11 events in 2 hours, and it's team versus team. I'd be willing to say I'd like to see CrossFit gyms start having weekend events maybe once a quarter. You know, our gym goes to a gym in Nashville, or, you know, we put together like a small team or something like that, and we do it just like they do it in the NPFL.
Yeah, pickup games.
Like pickup games, just like people pick up on basketball.
This is very interesting and novel.
Because I'm not saying I hate weekend events, but weekend events are very taxing. They're time consuming. They cost a lot of money to put on and for the people who are attending and competing. But now you have this kind of changes the standards, the expectations, and people are now going, oh, I can be there for 2 hours and have a really good time.
If, people probably if start I'm playing with those ideas now.
If I'm competing, volunteering, putting it on, whatever, any aspect of it makes it a lot more digestible.
Yeah, if CrossFit or this type of CrossFit-like thing, like the MPFL, is ever going to turn into like a real mainstream type thing amongst younger kids, putting something like this into schools where each school competes against each other in a league, just like baseball,
Doug
football,
Larson.
Basketball, or soccer.
Boom! You just blew my mind.
That'd be the way for this type of sport to take over.
It makes
put it in schools.
It lowers. Yeah. It makes it very. The entry level to it is very reduced. It's more fun. It's more punchy.
We should definitely get this in schools.
You know what I was thinking? What's tripping me out about this? This is already like. You know,
Tony
it's like,
Budding's like, oh, yes.
you know how you had.
He's probably already had this conversation before. He's like, I'm glad someone else is talking about it. Yeah.
For years and years, I was very happy with my big, ultra awesome 1,000 CD collection. And then one day, iPods came out. I go, you know what? This other thing looks stupid as shit. I got to join this new wave. And hardly before I got my head around how awesome and revolutionary iPods were, I became stupid. The next thing quickly came, like the acceleration of technology is coming quicker and quicker, quicker because this is curvilinear path. Could we be in the midst of that with personal fitness and well-being? You know, healthcare is collapsing. Everything's rapidly changing. These revolutions and just how we're viewing fitness now. Here's another one where it could change again into some more viral, more condensed, more this thing that can now spread to more people.
Yeah.
And as it spreads more and more, people get more ideas about how it could be further refined. It could emerge some radically different thing again in 2 or 3 years.
So I want to ask you, Doug. All right.
I'm ready.
You got an athlete. They've been doing CrossFit. They've been preparing for the Open, but now they want to do the NPFL Combine at the end of April. How do they prepare between now and then? What do you think?
After the Open's open and they only have until April?
Yeah, they've got two.
They got two more weeks to train?
No.
Go on vacation, man. Take a break.
Oh, wait. They got 1 month. Yeah.
The hay is in the barn.
Yeah, there's not much going on. All right. Terrible question.
They don't have much going on, but like you said, it's a predominantly strength sport, or at least the testing is predominantly strength-based.
Yeah, combine. We're not talking about prepping for the NPFL. We're talking about preparing for the combine.
Yeah, so being a predominantly strength-based combine, you're going to want to perfect your weightlifting for sure. So a lot of heavy movements on weightlifting. You're not doing a lot of volume necessarily, keeping it to doubles and singles because you're going to be testing on singles.
Yeah.
So same thing with squats. You could take a more traditional weightlifter, like you're training for the sport of weightlifting, because the whole sport of weightlifting is training for snatch, clean, and jerk 1RMs.
Mm-hmm.
So weightlifters do a lot of 1RM snatching. They do a lot of heavy doubles and singles on clean and jerks, heavy doubles and singles on front squats. There's no back squat on there, right?
None.
There's snatch, clean and jerk, clean, jerk, and front squat.
I was going through the list the other day to program, like, to prep for it, and I was like, oh, there's no back. It's like I was looking for the back squat thing, and I missed it, and it was gone.
Dude, I want to see Kendrick Ferris in this league. People talk about him doing CrossFit. This is what he should do.
He could. What better off the shit? Like, what better sub for the strength event do you want than Kendrick pound for pound?
Yeah. All right. So Doug, so weightlifting. What about for the gymnastics stuff?
I still think you got to train heavy on the gymnastics stuff. I think your one rep max at something like a weighted pull up probably has a whole lot to do with how many max reps pull ups you can do in a row. If you can do a weighted pull up with 150 pounds, you probably can do 50 pull ups in a row, or 50 kipping pull ups in a row, or 70 pull-ups in a row.
Yeah, I don't know many guys that can do 50 kipping pull-ups in a row that also can't do a weighted pull-up with, like,
so it seems
120
like,
pounds at least around their waist.
All the guys I know that can easily do like 100 pounds on a weighted pull-up, you go, here, try a muscle-up. They're like, okay. Whoop. And they just do it. Like it's nothing. They can do it on the first try because they're shitty strong.
It seems like you got to take like a approach I would take for powerlifting, only you'd use more movements. But like what do you do in powerlifting? Will you train all the qualities and all the basic movements that are powerlifting movements? So you're doing a speed, quick, sub-max, but still very forceful, light back squat. You're going to take heavy attempts. And then you're going to do movements that are kind of like the squat, but you do some for reps too. Like maybe occasionally do the five. So like for weightlifting, it wouldn't be enough to do weightlifting, and then go off and then do some reps at pull-ups, because then you're missing the key component like Doug's talking. Like everything has to be loaded in a balanced way to get that kind of effect. So yeah, there has to be heavy ass ring work, heavy ass pull-ups, heavy. You can't just do the reps alone on some things and combine it with just a pure weightlifting approach. So it will be quite different.
Yeah. That's one thing. Yeah. I mean, one thing I've been approaching some of the gymnastics stuff, especially in the last year, is once a week, kind of doing that weighted version, that heavy weight. And then later in the week, practicing the unweighted skill for reps. I think that's
basically a really conjugate approach where if you're in a position, try to do this, if you're in a position to make a real move to try to do this kind of combine, then you are somebody who's advanced. This probably isn't something that you can entertain unless you've done years of progressive basic strength work and you have got a lot of good exposure and you already have skills for muscle ups and kipping pull-ups and stuff. You probably can't entertain this unless you're advanced. And if you are advanced in a highly variable, I say quotation marks, conjugate or very varied program within the week, it's probably going to be what's helping you.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, quick ass pull-ups, very heavy pull-ups and pull-ups for reps probably train concurrently, I guess, in some way.
I also think on the strength endurance side of things, to get through a weekend like that or a single day where you're doing, what is there, 9 one rep maxes on there and then something like 9 more intervals?
It's 18 total movements. Yeah, and the first 9 are weightlifting and 1RMs, and the second half is, and you can mix those up as much as you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone that's done a powerlifting meet, for example, knows that at the end of the day, even though you're only taking 9 attempts, you're pretty wore out. I guess you would know that better than anybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you finish that point. I'll follow up with some tips I think people could keep in mind. But yeah, traditionally lifting heavy and being in that kind of
finish that up. Anyway, what I was saying, and then he just kept talking.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
it is intense.
Strength endurance wise, like you're going to have a lot of strength endurance in order to get through an entire day like that. And towards the end of that day, still have some oomph left and needed to actually get a good score on, you know, the last 5 or 10 intervals of the day. So, I think doing every minute on the minute or alternating every minute on the minute, heavy doubles, maybe triples, is going to go a long way to getting you not just to have your one rep max go up, but to be able to operate with, you know, 90% of your one rep max for multiple reps throughout your training is going to help towards the end of the training day during the combine.
You're going to have to train in some style that allows you, again, the volume may have to come down a bit, but you have to train with heavier weights more often to cultivate the skill and the mindset for being able to do this kind of heavy lifting frequently all the time and not be beat down by it.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many weightlifting meets I've done the max reason why snatch and max clean and jerk.
The reason why powerlifting is really poor, powerlifting cultivates, you don't have to train heavy all the time, doesn't necessarily come along with the idea that you get so intense and amped up for it. Like in powerlifting, there's that max effort idea where people get really fired up to take the max effort. But I don't like that at all anymore. What I like is a reasonable approach, Bulgarian style quotation marks. You train heavy often, but I like the idea of taking frequent heavy attempts and getting better and better at these type of combine movements, but trying to do it with a very professional attitude where you're treating this as something you have to develop and cultivate, this skill, not something where you're looking to crush each one of these things every time you train it. You got to get really good at lifting heavy weights. Like Doug's saying, pretty heavy pretty frequently, but with a mindset that's a little bit controlled, a little bit more business-like, to get good at handling that kind of heavy load more frequently.
Yeah, I can see people.
Down. If you start trying to train for this, you can get beat down really quick, even if you are highly advanced.
Yeah, I can see people like kind of getting in their head, I got to have a really strong deadlift or a really strong snatch or overhead squat. But what they need to have is the ability to one rep max out on 9 different movements.
That takes a
level of calm. And then max reps out on another. That's a whole other animal, because you can train to get really strong at any of that stuff and maybe all of that stuff at the same time, but can you train to get strong at all that stuff and perform it in a single afternoon? It's like, that's going to be a different story.
It's a novel problem.
Yep.
Let's wrap this bad boy up. Huh?
When you're programming for regionals or something like that, you got to prepare the athletes to be able to go really hard multiple times throughout the day. And this is similar in that way, but it's a little bit of a different animal at the same time, because it's just different because of all the
heavier
one rep maxes.
It's faster pace. It's only 2 hours.
Yeah, no, it's 8 hours.
No, I mean for the event.
For the event, not
versus
the combine.
The event that is a typical CrossFit all day affair.
No, seriously, I'm hungry. Let's get this.
So I did go back and look. They are looking for sponsors right now for both national sponsors as well as local sponsors. So if you want to help out and you know someone that might be good to sponsor the NPFL, you can email info@profitnessleague.com and help these guys out, because I'm sure they need it trying to grow this new league.
Not just helping them out, but helping yourself out, because I think this is going to go really well. And if you sponsor it, you know, people are going to return that deed by frequenting your business.
Yeah.
Kindness returns kindness.
Yeah. And again, I don't know if they need volunteers or judges, but I'm going to guess that they do. So
if
you're a good judge or you know some good judges, throw them Tony's way, because he probably needs them.
If you're a local anything, if you're a local athletic trainer, strength coach, I don't know, facilities manager, anything, you should maybe inquire to see how you can support and help this thing, because it's going to create a lot of opportunities for a lot of people.
Yeah, I've had a couple people ask me, they go, hey, are you interested in, because I'm talking about it, I'm kind of excited about it, like, and they're like, are you interested in having a team? I'm like, me? No. They're like, is Barbell Stroke guys going to jump in on this? I'm like, no, I don't think so. I don't know if we're interested in this specifically.
I would have figured you'd be all over that with your ego. Don't, what do you do? I'm like, really? I could be a team owner? Wow.
Yeah, but not that interested. I'm really interested in the people who are owning the teams and starting those teams, and I think it'll be
so I guess we could be
fairly interesting.
To be fair and clear, we're not so excited because we have some interest already in this. We're just interested in how it's going to unfold and how it's going to affect everybody else. It's not like I don't see this as being anything that takes away from what's so great and successful about CrossFit. I see it as an independent thing that can only help bring more good attention to what CrossFit's doing. For that reason, I think anybody who can get involved and contribute some time and effort, resource, some training knowledge that can be beneficial to these people as they embark on this, you should get involved. You should participate. It's cool as shit.
Even if we're not looking to own a team or something like that, if you're out there and you're going to do something with the MPFL and you're looking for some help and there's a way that you think we could help, you're always looking to hear your ideas about how we can help out anywhere in the community. So if you do have a good idea, throw it our way. We're interested to hear about it.
Yeah, I'd like
just
to get
hit
involved.
Us up on Twitter.
I'd like to get involved, just not sure I want to own a team.
Yeah, let's interview all the owners and athletes and do the thing we always do. You heard?
You heard.
Let's wrap this up.
CTB. CTB is starving. He hasn't eaten since breakfast. It's like 5 o'clock.
You need a burrito more than
Oh, it's 6 o'clock. Dollar. Man, you got to be starving.
Cosmos is coming on in an hour. Let's go.
We got Cosmos tonight, man.
This is making me want to draw it out even more.
Fuck CTB. You keep holding that camera, you son of a bitch.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up. Make sure to go to barbellstruck.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll update you on not only the podcast we're putting out, but we're, you know, if we travel to these combines, we might be showing up in your hometown and you might want to know about
Maybe you'll just send them a nice note. Hey, how's your morning? Is it good? see you later, friend.
it could happen.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy talking about the MPFL. Check it out. Go to MPFL.com.
See you next time. Shh.